people like to laugh at sex. People like to laugh at dirty things, and people love to be shocked, I think.
Kill everyone now.
So that's my job, to get out there and shock them.
Get those cameras rolling!
Divine was dangerous. Part outlaw, part serial killer.
Who wants to die for art? I do!
Divine was a cinematic terrorist.
I didn't get my reputation for nothing, you know.
She was just barreling through the scenes, chewing up the scenery, and owning every minute of it.
This is Adam Shartoff. You're listening to a special FilmWax radio episode coming from Austin, Texas at the South by Southwest Film Festival. Jeffrey Schwarz is president and CEO of Automat Pictures, a leading producer of studio electronic press kits, Blu-ray and DVD content, original television programming, and documentary feature films. In 2008, Jeffrey premiered the GayVN award-winning feature documentary Wrangler, Anatomy of an Icon, a portrait of adult film star Jack Wrangler. He went on to make the film Spine Tingler, the William Castle story about the legendary Hollywood showman, which won the 2007 AFI Fest Documentary Audience Award, among many other festival honors. It was released in 2009 by Sony Pictures Home Entertainment and has aired on both Turner Classic Movies and the Documentary Channel. His latest documentary feature is HBO documentary film's Vito, about the beloved gay activist and the author of The Celluloid Closet. It premiered at the 2011 New York Film Festival and made its television debut on HBO in July of 2012. Eye and Divine is Jeffrey's new documentary, premiering at South by Southwest. It's the story about a man who fought against what society considers conventionally beautiful. It's about addiction, it's about fame, it's about the quest for the spotlight and artistic respect. Divine's complete commitment to being and expressing himself perhaps did more to promote notions of freedom and acceptance than even he knew. He certainly paved the way for legions of misfits to come. Welcome, Jeffrey Schwarz, to FilmWax Radio.
Very nice to be here.
I saw I Am Divine, and it is an homage to a very unconventional artist, right?
I would say that he is an artist, and that's how he would like to have been remembered, I would think, mm-hmm. because I feel like he's been marginalized and categorized right. as a drag queen, or kind of written off.
Yes.
As opposed to being thought of as an artist, as an actor, as a character actor,
right.
as a performance artist, you know. So yeah. I hope this film kind of allows people to appreciate how skilled he was as a performer.
Yeah. And did you ever kind of have to grapple with the idea, perhaps, of calling your film I Am Glenn Milstead?
Well, you know, once he became Divine, he started off as Glenn Milstead, as a effeminate, overweight, picked on teenager in Baltimore, in the suburbs of Baltimore. But once he met John Waters and started developing this character of Divine along with John, he really left Glenn behind. And he did make a clean break from that part of his life. You know, once he found people that appreciated him for who he was, he really did transform himself. And he was able to channel all of the teenage rage and angst of being picked on into this Divine character. And he threw all that back at the audience. And it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. His career became a catharsis for him, obviously. And he was able to, in the end, reconnect with his estranged parents, right? And which was really important to all of them.
That's right. I mean, early on, he was a very good boy early on, and he never, you know, he's
a mama's boy.
He was home, and he was in bed by 10 o'clock, and he was a mama's boy, and he did his mother's hair, you know, and he was a good boy.
Mm-hmm.
But then he started doing things like hanging out with John Waters and all right. the gay beatniks, and dropping acid and smoking pot, and mm-hmm. starting to go to drag balls and really engaging with an underground queer culture.
Yeah.
And not all queer, but also beatniks and, you know,
sure.
outsider artists. And
my guess is they kind of found each other, all the marginalized, because there wasn't quite as the numbers as you might have found in New York. But it was surprising to me that there was quite a counterculture in Baltimore.
Well, there was an art scene there. There was art school there, and there all these art school kids and sort of kids who just were growing up in the suburbs and didn't fit in. All the people who didn't fit in ended up finding each other, making films together, loving each other, having relationships with each other, mm-hmm. encouraging each other, growing together. And they ended up making films together for many, many years. I mean, the people that Divine was in the films with very early on, they were essentially home movies. Mm-hmm. You know, some of these people were in all the movies all the way up until Hairspray. So the fact that, you know, Divine never thought that anything would really come of this at the beginning. He was just having fun making movies with his friends, you know.
Sure.
And then slowly but surely, there was an audience and people started showing up for these films.
But there was also, aside to his nature, correct me if I'm wrong, which seemed pretty ambitious.
Well, at the beginning, he didn't think anything would come of it, but he always wanted to be a movie star. He always wanted to be Elizabeth Taylor. Mm-hmm. But first of all, he was a man, you know, so to become Elizabeth Taylor would have been a challenge. But, you know, I think at first he didn't really think much of it or think it would. He had a great time and he loved doing it. Mm-hmm. I think it wasn't until he realized that there was an audience out there who appreciated him.
Right.
When he went to San Francisco early on. This is an episode in the film where there was an audience in San Francisco of all the crazy freaks, the Cockettes, the group, the performance, drag performance group that embraced him. They wanted to greet Divine. So they brought Divine out to San Francisco to make his first personal appearance. And it was actually when he was on the airplane going to San Francisco, that's when he came up with that signature look. John said to Divine, and to the makeup artist, Van Smith, do something weird, you know, just do something weird with his hairline. So Divine went into the bathroom of the airplane and shaved his eyebrows and shaved his head back, and Van did this crazy makeup. So by the time he stepped off the plane, he was Divine.
Yes.
And he saw all the fans outside waiting for him, chanting his name, and suddenly something clicked in his mind and he became Divine.
Right. He designed her look.
Van Smith. Right.
Van Smith did giving as much billboard space as possible to...
Right, there wasn't the enough room on the human face
that, as it exists.
For the eye makeup.
You had to create it.
So he shaved his head back.
You had to borrow space from the hairline.
Exactly, and that's that's an iconic look. And Divine, in my mind, he's a cinema icon on the level of Marilyn Monroe or James Dean or an Elvis. You know, he's also kind of frozen in time because he died so young that the image of him in, let's say, in Pink Flamingos is an iconic image that I've seen now spray painted on walls today.
Why, you sneaking, conniving little abortion!
She was simultaneously sexy and monstrous and terrifying. Is she gonna screw me or eat me?
You wanna fuck me?
He had something that no one else has.
She just had this power.
She was a midnight movie star. You could only see her after midnight, but it was worth staying up.
People would say, you can't do that.
Well, why not?
Well, fuck you all very much.
He was such a good soul and such a funny person that even the absurd and horrific things he did are forgiven. He could get away with them.
How's this for a center spread?
He was breaking the rules of drag and defying them by wearing stuff that a fat person would never, ever wear. He took it to a different level. He took it to a level of anarchy.
Do not forget, I am Divine!
Tell me, Jeffrey, as far as making the film, I overheard you speaking about with someone that it took over 5 years to get the film made, finished, and I was wondering what maybe in that period of time did you learn about Divine that you didn't know? Maybe something that changed your perception of him. And also, I'm curious to know what pronoun you use, because it flips back and forth throughout the film with different people.
He liked to be called Shim, which is actually something that his father came up with.
Is that you're breaking that here on the show?
Call me Shim. That's not actually in the movie, but other people who knew him well
of course.
Said that. So some people call him she, some people call him he. I think he would just would probably like to be talked about, period, no matter what pronoun you call him.
Exactly.
You know, but when he's Divine, I call him she, you know. But I like to mix it up too, you know, so...
Yeah, makes sense.
But as far as the journey of making the film, you know, I was very amazed at the interview that we got with his high school girlfriend. And I knew that he had a girlfriend in high school for about 7 years, but I didn't know about what that relationship was, you know. And so she was not part of his development as a performer, you know. Like in her mind, they were going to be together forever, that they were going to eventually get married and settle down in Baltimore, and she would tend to the house and he would be a hairdresser in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. But his life obviously took a very different turn. And it's not something that we were able to use in the film, unfortunately, but there's always the DVD where she talks about, you know, after they kind of separated and he went off to do his thing, she didn't really know what he was up to. She couldn't find him. She was trying to track him down.
Yeah.
But he didn't really respond to her efforts to talk.
He didn't accept her Facebook friendship request.
This is right. Yeah, exactly. Like, you could actually disappear from people, you know,
right,
at that time.
At one point.
But eventually she did track him down, and they did reconnect. And then, but she also took John Waters out to lunch and said, what's going on with him? You know, what if you took my Glenn and you did this to him? And she was a little bit angry at John. Sure. But John assured her, you know, he's doing what he loves to do. He's happy. He's a happy person. Yes. And then eventually she did accept that.
And I think his happiness and that authenticism that Divine brought, which was a result of him living more authentically, was what got his ultimate forgiveness with his mom and his dad.
He was estranged from them for about 10 years.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
And he was young.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the film is called I Am Divine, The Life of Divine, the drag performer.
The most beautiful woman in the world.
No one has challenged you on that yet, so I would recommend.
I believe it.
Did you ever get to meet him?
No, unfortunately, I didn't. I mean, I was... sadly, didn't get to ever see him perform. I wish now, looking back, I think all those people who did get to see him, you know, he did a disco act for many years.
I know, that was news to me.
Yeah, because John didn't make movies that often. So he had to do something to make money. So he developed a disco act and recorded music, and so many people got to see him.
There were like 20 records, I mean, from
many,
what I could
many
tell, right?
Hit songs, including I'm So Beautiful.
This was what I learned and was my takeaway. I did not realize, I mean, I knew him because I'd seen the John Waters films as they came out, but that was a surprise that he had a recording career, a flourishing one.
You could still get those songs, download on the iTunes.
Right. So it's Jeffrey Schwarz, who's also made Vito a couple of years ago.
Vito, Wrangler, and Anatomy of an Icon, and Spine Tingler, the William Castle story.
Yeah, Spine Tingler, the William Castle, another great, I see you gravitate towards those on the fringe, correct?
Absolutely.
And are you on the fringe?
Am I on the fringe? I don't know. I think my sensibility is certainly, and you know, making documentaries, you always kind of feel like you're on the outside looking in a way, because I live in Los Angeles and there's plenty of documentaries being made in Los Angeles, but you're always sort of working underneath the, you know, the quote unquote industry. And there's not a lot of love for documentaries within the Hollywood establishment. Yeah. You know what I mean? Right. So you just have to just follow your heart and
sure.
follow your passions and just make the work and trust that the universe will see it through.
Well, I'm glad you made this work. It was highly entertaining.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Yes, walk away. You're telling me that.